Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Always.
Welcome back to another episode of Dangerous World Podcast, everybody. A Saturday release, which we don't do too often unless it's like the break room show or some kind of extra show like that. And in a way, this was not a super planned out episode, but it was pretty damn cool. I'm running this like a total normal episode. However, it is everything but. This is more of like an interview-based thing where I talk with a buddy that I met through the show. His name's Dale, and he runs through his paranormal experiences in life. And I think, again, I mean, it's really cool how this stuff kind of works out with this show where, you know, I don't really lean into this stuff too much, but it is, you know, October, pretty darn soon. Is this coming out on October? Are there 30 days in October, or are there 31? Tune in to find out. Yes, so this is coming in on October 1st. I love it. Synchronicities, right? Or just, maybe I planned this. Who knows? But yeah, I talk with Dale here, and he runs through some wild experiences, tells me some pretty creepy stuff. We go for about another 40 minutes on the Patreon, and he didn't have anything that he wanted to plug other than his wife's Instagram. I guess the handle for hers is Live Fit Bunny. She is a personal trainer and does meal preps. And I got to say, congratulations, buddy. She is, in the most respectful way, a very attractive woman. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful to you or her. Good for you. Follow her page. Follow his page. He didn't give you his in order to follow, but I'm sure that you can find him through that one. And a really, really kind person. And I was happy that he was willing to share this stuff with me. Shared some things that I could tell he was not 100% comfortable sharing. But, you know, we got through it and we had a very, very fun conversation. This was a blast. Total unexpected kind of thing. Had a couple beers and listened to some crazy-ass stories. And I really thought that you guys would like it too. So let me know what you think on this one. Again, not my typical style of a show, but Dale's such a cool dude, and this was a really, like I said, a wild set of stories. So when the actual episode starts, you'll be able to tell that I really didn't know what we were getting into. I make that very clear, but I got comfortable right away with these kinds of stories. There was a couple creepy, you know, audio cutouts throughout the entire show, and you know, again, we got through it. It was just one of those things. But I even say on there, like, that was creepy. You know, just certain things when they happen like that are just like, what the hell is going on here? But I'm going to quit rambling. You know, I always kind of ramble in these intros. Fun episode here, though. Thank you so much, Dale. And patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast, dangerousworldstore.com. That's about it, you know. I started the new podcast. It is called Casual KO, and I don't know exactly how available it is yet. It doesn't seem to be available anywhere, even on YouTube. It's a little difficult to find. You can see it on like my Instagram story. I've been sharing it. We talk mostly about the UFC event that's going on October 1st here, the day that this podcast is released. So if you're into MMA or you just want to hear like a cool conversation about something that is totally irrelevant to conspiracy, I encourage you to check it out. It was a fun, fun show, and that's going to be a blast to do. Just once a week, getting with a buddy on the other side of the world and talking about something that neither one of us do, which is, fight at the highest level of competition. So conspiracies and MMA, obviously the two shows do not intermingle here. This is still a continuous project that I'm going to continue to grow. And I've said it many times, I'm on my way out of my 9-to-5. This is a weird time for me right now just because of the pressure getting out of that world and focusing on this. But in the meantime, I have even less time than I normally do because I'm doing other little side gigs and just trying to make money. So just really want to make it clear that there is no attention being brought away from Dangerous World. It's just I'm spread extremely thin right now, even more so than normal. But I love it. We're going to get back into this stuff, and you're going to probably get even more content, more Patreon content. And the monthly chats for the $10 members are going to be moved to a Sunday, probably a Sunday afternoon, and I'm going to see how that works. When I was doing them on Saturday nights, only a few people would show up. I love those people that did show up, but we want to try and get more people to get involved too, because it's a fun thing, you know, just shooting the shit. It's not recorded. There's no pressure, and that will be probably the first Sunday of every month. I'm going to do this one a little different. This will be coming up probably in the next week. What is next Sunday? Let's plan for this. How do we say October 9th will be the next Patreon top tier chat, and that's in the books. October 9th, all right? I will get a time that'll be shout out to you guys on Patreon, but thank you. I'm going to quit going, okay? Just enjoy the show with Dale. This was some crazy stuff. Don't listen to it at night by yourself because there's some freaky shit here. And let's roll into it. And without further ado, here's my buddy Dale that I met from the show. Awesome dude. Thanks, Dale. Let's go. Well, folks, I am pretty excited to get into this episode, which I don't even really know what we're going to be talking about up front here. You probably already heard what we got into here in the intro, but I'm really excited to talk with Dale, who I actually met through Patreon. He's a awesome supporter of the show, and I can't thank you enough for that, Dale. That's it really does help every time, you know, I get to talk with one of you guys too. It makes everything so much cooler. It makes it like a real thing. So first of all, thank you for your support. Thank you for reaching out to talk about your interesting stories here. And how the hell are you, man?
I'm doing pretty dang good.
Good.
As I told you, I got the day off, so it's good stuff.
You're already really doing a lot better than I am. If you were off today on a nice Saturday, as we're recording this Saturday evening, I just got done working. Luckily, this is not a video episode because I'm just pouring sweat because I just like, you know, I'm trying to lose weight and all kinds of other stuff. And once you get out in this Tucson heat and you start sweating, it doesn't stop. Like even after I just took a cold shower, it's still pouring out of me right now. So I don't know what's wrong with me, but you know, we're getting to a better spot, hopefully. Where are you at, man? I don't know a whole lot about you, and this is going to be kind of like a me getting to know you a little bit too. So first of all, where are you?
I am basically I'm in Northwest Indiana, about half hour, 45 minutes from Chicago.
You live out there your whole life?
I had a 6-month stint down in Indianapolis and I moved back.
Okay. So most of the stuff that we're referring to, like it's, with your stories all gone on in this area.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do not believe it is. The things that happened are not related to the specific area. It's just stuff that happened to me, I guess.
So you think it's following you? You don't think that it's something, like you said, with the house or with land or anything? It's something that's following you.
I wouldn't say something's following me. It's more like things are just seem to be coming to me. You know, it's really hard to explain. I mean, to really put it into words. But I mean, I could just get into the story, you know, start you off at the beginning and then we can work from there. And maybe you might have a couple ideas that I haven't even thought of.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what we're going to try and do here is put it into words. Have you done a podcast before? Have you ever talked with anybody about this, like, and recorded it?
I have done it once a few months ago.
Okay.
But so, yeah, I told you earlier, I had a couple things happen just in the past month or so that was kind of, okay, this is kind of happening. So.
Interesting. No, I just wanted to kind of figure out a little bit more about you first, man, if that's all right, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Are you a religious person, first of all? And then I got quite a few other questions after that.
Okay. I was brought up Catholic, and then I started to get in the Bible a little bit, and I'm like, well, this doesn't really go with what the Bible says. So I started asking questions. No one really wanted to give me answers. So I just said, I don't think this is it for me. You know, I think I'm going to go my own way. So I'm not part of the organized religion. Let's just say that, you know, I read the Bible, you know, not as much as I should, but my belief is rock hard into, you know, my belief in God and Jesus and all that.
You
know?
So you lean Christian, a lot like myself, like you kind of have your own way of going about it, but it sounds like you lean towards, like you said yourself, God and Jesus. Would you consider mm-hmm. yourself close to Christian? I mean, I'm not trying to label you, but just to get an idea.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say that because I don't know, just with everything going on in the world, and there's all these labels, this, that, and everything. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, and then you see people claiming to be Christians, and yet they are total jerks to people. It's like, come on, you know. So I don't. I'm just me, man. I'm just that. That's just how I look at it. You know,
just
I
mean, Dale.
For a general label, Christian. Okay.
Okay. Great. Yeah. No, I hear you, dude. I think that a lot of those people that hide behind Christianity and all these other religions, for that matter, are, I mean, satanic has almost gotten watered down at this point. But I think that they're hiding behind this label. You know, the Khazarians did it with the Jews, right? The Jews mm-hmm. aren't bad people, but there's a lot of bad people that say that they're Jewish in high places of power. Mm-hmm. There's also, I mean, there's a lot of people that come out of Italy that do the same thing. Now, does that mean that I think all Italians are bad? Absolutely not. And I love their food. It's the second best yeah. cuisine out there. and I stand behind that. It's only second place to Mexican. And anyone that tries to debate me on that, I can beat 10 times out of 10. But, you know, there's these bad people that hide behind these different things, man. So I get you, though. I get you on not wanting to really subscribe to any of these things. So fair enough. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that some of this stuff you think ties back to your childhood, and we're going to get into it, obviously. I just kind of wanted to lay a foundation for myself and, you know, the listeners here. What were you referring to that happened in your childhood when we were talking before the recording here?
Well, when I was young, I was, I want to say two, 3 years old, maybe in that general age. My sister had passed away.
Oh, sorry, man.
It's still rough, but about 6 months after her passing, my dad had gone on a vacation. My mom stayed home with me, and she had a dream one night that there was like this large, like black demon, as she put it, was just banging on the wall of my bedroom, like it was trying to get in. She woke up in a cold sweat, and she looked at the dog. Dog was sleeping. She came into my room. I was sleeping. I was just fine. But she said it was just so real, you know, in her dream. So I kind of want to say that was kind of the start of it. But she didn't obviously tell me that till I was much older.
Interesting. If you don't mind me asking, how old were you and how old was your sister?
I want to say I was three, and my sister passed, I want to say, like a week or two before her birthday, to be five.
To be five. And was this one of the things that you didn't want to talk about, how she passed?
I hate No, dude, I mean, if you want to know how she passed, I won't tell you a certain story because I really don't want to break down right now.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
But my sister had spina bifida, and she had one of the top surgeons in the world working on her, said this should be good. And she went into surgery, and that was it.
Oh, wow.
She didn't make it out.
Relatively unexpected then. Yeah, sorry about that, man. That's tough. And you were so young too. I mean, do you remember like her and kind of the feeling about that day, like when all this happened?
I remember being dropped off at my grandma's I want to say a day or two before she passed, and I think because most of my memories that I have of her are from pictures. Sure. Or from my parents. So there's one time I think I remember we were in my room and we were in there playing together. And I mean, it's just like a short glimpse of it, but I'm not even sure if that's what my mind told me from a story I heard or an actual memory. It's just, I was just so young.
Yeah.
So, and I remember her funeral. I remember going up to her casket and coming back and sitting on my aunt's lap, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's so crazy how the memory works, especially at that age. And then, you know, with something so traumatic. I mean, I'm sure you don't remember like waking up that day. You just remember this. Like, it sounds like a snapshot of this. It's crazy. I have similar things like that. Nothing nearly as traumatic, but yeah, it's interesting how that works. Now you bring that up with, you know, this tragedy with your sister. And then does your mother feel that this like demon stuff and like this dark stuff that doesn't, I mean, like just getting into the story barely here, it doesn't sound like it only has followed you. It seems like this is sort of a family thing. Does your mom seem to feel that way? And does she have like kind of this idea that maybe it's connected to your sister in some way? Not that your sister is this dark force, but that the same thing that was afflicting your sister from birth, it sounds like, is potentially messing with your family. Am I just like way off base there?
Well, you know, from what I understand, I feel like I know some stuff. I don't know a lot. So I think your guess is as good as mine.
Okay.
But from what I understand is that, I mean, you lose a child. That's probably one of the worst things a parent could ever have, is losing their child. You know, so I think with that, I think that there was something trying to get in due to the emotional pain and all that of going through that.
So that's an interesting observation. Yeah, I didn't think about it like that. That makes a lot more sense.
Because it's funny, because the wall that in the dream that it was banging on, we had a crucifix up on that exact wall.
Oh, wow.
So, which, I mean, like I said, you know, it's just speculation, but maybe that's, if it wasn't really a dream or however this stuff works, you know, maybe it couldn't get in because of that, or, you know, it was trying to get in. I don't, you know, look at it how you want, you know, to me, that's how I see it from my perspective.
That's very interesting, man, because then it makes you think about all the trauma that like our government puts onto us. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to derail from your story, but it screams this to me, where like, you know, 9/11, JonBenet Ramsey, all these really like national tragedies, right. Where, mm-hmm. Some people, you know, you show this stuff to, you know, 200 million people, 300 million people, someone is going to get so freaking upset to the point like where if your theory here is correct, some sort of dark energy could enter these people because of their weakened emotional state. And I wonder if that's why, because I actually just had a conversation with the dude today. He's not a conspiracy guy, just at work. And
I was talking about the JonBenet Ramsey thing because he brought up conspiracies, and I was like, well, I mean, have you looked into the theory that she's potentially not even a real person? And he's like, well, why would they fake that? Why would they, you know, create this kid that's like, you know, America's child in a sense, in a weird way, and then kill her, you know? And it was like, it just seems like senseless. It's like, well, I think it has something to do with trauma. Trauma seems to be like a tool for the devil and for, you know, our government, which I think is of the devil. It's a very interesting point, man. And have you spoken with your mom about this? Does she feel any certain way about it?
I mean, she obviously believes in it. Her dad passed away when my mom was 16, so I never met him, obviously.
Okay.
But she said that after he had passed, that one night she heard a bunch of her books fall off a shelf in her room while she was sleeping, and it woke her up, and she said that she just felt so at peace and everything. And when she woke up the next, she fell back asleep and woke up the next morning, she thinks it was her dad, you know, kind of saying, hey, I'm here. But that's why she felt such at peace, is because he was trying to get her up to know that, you know, he was there. That's what she says. You know, I don't.
Yeah, that's very, so it was like almost like a polar opposite of the situation of when your dad is gone and then your mom sees this dark demonic looking thing, right? It seems like the polar opposite of that.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, just one of the things can influence you either way, you know, how you're feeling or whatever. I mean, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But I don't know how any of this really works. So it's just, I don't really want to say this is what it is. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, yeah, no, that's a responsible way to do it. Cause yeah, if you're saying like definitively that this is what it is. Yeah. It's like, yeah. How are we to know? But I mean, do you know much about your family history? Were they like really heavily involved with the church, or was there like way down the line, like great, great grandparent type stuff, some sort of weird curse going on? I know it sounds weird. I mean, I don't even know how much I believe in that stuff, but I mean, were they involved in like religious kind of stuff?
I on my mom's side, I don't know a whole lot, because after my grandfather died,
yeah,
there were issues, and then once my grandma passed away, I think I was like 12 at the time. That created a massive rift on my mom's side of the family. So I literally know pretty much nothing about them. And my mom doesn't really want to talk about it, because it's that was a mess. It's just a mess on her side.
Fair. Yeah. Sorry to hear that too, man. It sucks. Sometimes these deaths like this, they just really do screw things up, man. It sucks.
Yeah. My dad's side, though, this is kind of, to me, it's kind of funny, but supposedly my great, great, great grandfather was supposedly burned at the stake for being a warlock.
Oh, dude, come on. That's it right there, then.
I don't know. My dad said that his grandfather, my great grandfather, was like a really big historian into our history, Poland or Germany. I don't know which one. I guess that's what he had told my dad. My dad believes it. I'm like, whether he was or not, I guess you don't really know. But I mean, that was such a long time ago. But yeah, so I think honestly, it's kind of cool and funny at the same time. So,
do you know his name?
I have no idea. It never occurred to me to ask, because I didn't really get into a lot of this stuff and want to know until later, and I just haven't really thought about asking my dad about it. But actually, I could probably do it next time I see him.
Yeah, man. Because that, I mean, you hear a lot of people. And did your family have roots in New England, in that area there?
No, my My history basically begins in Northwest Indiana. My great grandfather came over from Germany and was building roads over basically out where I live. So when back in the early 1900s.
Oh, so this warlock was killed in either Germany or Poland, you said?
Yeah, something.
Okay, so it wasn't even here. I didn't even realize that they did that stuff over there, but it makes sense.
Yeah, because I know Germany, I don't know much about it, but I believe that they have they've got a history of a lot of witches and
all
that stuff. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he was involved or not.
Yeah, if we're talking late 1700s or early 1800s, I mean, the culture over there in Germany was what led, was what some people would say would led to Hitler's election, basically, was because the people over time were slowly programmed to liking horror movies and, or not movies, but horror culture and, you know, horror poems and really weird shit, kind of like how our society is decaying today. Before they elected Hitler, Germany, and I mean, I should say Prussia, I guess, it's all going downhill culturally like we are. So that's interesting, man. But yeah, no, definitely there were some witches and warlocks apparently too running around there. That's wild though, man. So do you, I mean, obviously you've thought about that a little bit. Do you feel like there's some sort of weird curse with your family?
Okay. I know before we got on here, I said that there was something that I don't want to get in the details of it because I'm not sure if I want to release that yet. But this actually ties into this.
So we'll just share with whatever you're comfortable.
Okay, so just to put it plainly, I decided to go through deliverance.
Okay.
Do you know what those are?
No.
Deliverance is supposed to be like a cleansing of like emotional and spiritual healing.
Okay.
You know, and it's through Jesus. It's not, you know, here's my pet rock. Why don't you?
Yeah.
Like a Ghostbuster trap or something like that.
Okay.
So while that's being done, I mean, this is all my choice. You know, I just thought, you know, why not? The guy that was doing it actually said, do you have any legal rights to be here and like attached to me or whatever? And it said, yes. And he asked, you know, who was it? And I want to say the name was Barry, I think. Okay. I don't remember. Going through something like that is, it's you talking, but it's not really you talking. But it came out Barry, and I remember I went and talked to my mom and asked if we had anyone by that name in my dad's family or her family, and she said yes, in her family. So I'm thinking that someone on her side might have dabbled in things they probably shouldn't have, and it's connected through bloodline, legal rights.
Mm.
So it's this whole thing is complicated. I've been thinking about reading more and getting more involved in this whole deliverance thing, but I just haven't worked up the guts to do it.
It sounds like when you went and did it, there was some kind of weird shit going on there. It sounds like not a pleasant experience.
No, it's not. It's it's exhausting, and you have to understand too. I'm not one of those types of people that are, you know, oh, I can hypnotize you. I'm like, no, you really can't. You know, I don't, that stuff just bounces right off of me. But this was not what I was expecting.
Was it done at a church or?
No, it was through like a Zoom call, a video Zoom call. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. This stuff goes over. I mean, yeah, it goes over calls and all this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so the maybe you can kind of tell me how this goes down. Does someone actually, you know, sit there and like essentially hypnotize you, kind of like you said, and then you start talking, but it's not really you? Is that kind of how it goes down?
No, it wasn't like that at all. There was, I mean, we were talking, you know, face to face through the Zoom call, and he said, okay, you know, just relax, kind of clear your mind, and he said, I separate soul from spirit and I command whoever in Jesus' name to come out. And I was like, okay, this isn't really doing anything. Then maybe he says it a couple more times, my stomach like flexed really hard and stuff started coming out, you know, just saying stuff.
You were just saying things. Nothing physical was coming out. Just words.
No. There's no bodily fluids or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, like throwing up and stuff, like The Exorcist. Yeah, man. It sounds terrifying, to be honest. So, and you vividly remember this, or did you have to go back and like see a video or something of it?
He didn't record it at all. I remember a lot of it. I remember most of it. I think there was maybe the first time he did it. I want to say like, I kind of like blacked out or something. Not necessarily blacked out, but I could see, but I didn't know what was going on.
Interesting.
Type of thing.
What was your reasoning for doing this deliverance thing?
I don't know. I heard something on a podcast and something just triggered with me. And I'm like, you know, now that I think of it, something seems off. Something doesn't seem right.
Within you.
Yeah. Because I started, to get back in my story, what kind of started happening was for the longest time, I currently work at a job that is just emotionally and physically exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I was not in a good head place, and I'm trying to find ways to, you know, sleep better and be be the person I'm supposed to be. And I started seeing things for like, listen to this while you're sleeping at this frequency. So I started from that and started messing around. And then I saw one like, meet your soul familiar, guardian angel, whatever. I'm like, oh, this can't be real. And I'm the type of person, I'll give it a shot, I don't care. And when that happened, I started having plenty of dreams of doing exorcisms on people in my dreams.
Mm.
And I'm like, this isn't right. You know, I don't like this. And then there was one that freaked me out so bad that I'm like, this has got to stop, you know? So, and that dream was, I was doing an exorcism on what felt like my youngest daughter, but she was older in this dream, but I couldn't see her face, but it just felt like her. And it freaked me out. I woke up like completely exhausted, you know, like I was physically doing it. And I'm like, something's wrong. You know, this isn't, I don't think I should be having these types of dreams.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of triggered into me getting into contact with, it was a group on Facebook that I finally found, and a guy I talked to that did all this for me. And, you know, things have gotten better. I literally have gotten better since it's been almost a year since I went through it.
That's crazy, man. It's Was this guy a Christian too? Obviously, if he's you know, using Jesus.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. He his testimony is it's intense. I mean, the stuff that where he was and through drug and alcohol addiction and getting on hallucinogenics, and he started seeing spirits and demons and aliens and all this other stuff, and he just turned away from it and got into the Bible, and now he's going to school to be a psychologist, and he also does deliverances.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. It's interesting to me when people use like psychedelics as a tool like that. I'm mixed on it personally. I know that it helps a lot of people, but I'm always curious as like, you know, what's the real cost of that? Not that psychedelics I think are bad necessarily. I think that a lot more research needs to be done, but it's interesting. Do you know if he still uses psychedelics and stuff? Not that it would discredit him.
Oh no, he stopped. He's done with it. He's done with all, because he's like this it would go against everything that he's trying to be and
sure
and all that. So no, he doesn't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting that really showed him, because you hear about that a lot. You hear about, you know, I took mushrooms and I had this spiritual awakening and all this stuff. And I find it interesting that it's a repeated story over and over again with people's different perspectives on it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I wanted to ask you too, did you ever have a drug problem or alcohol problem or anything like that?
No, I don't. No, I mean, I've smoked here and there. I mean, even kind of recently too.
Sure.
But no, I mean, no, I'm just I don't want to play around with, I mean, I'll have drinks, you know, occasionally I'll have a smoke with my brother-in-law, but for the most part, all that other stuff, the stuff that I've seen, I've been through, and I've heard from other people, I will not touch that stuff. I'm not saying that it's fine, you know, it's bad across the board. I just, for me, I would not touch that.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, I ask because, you know, I drink, I enjoy my drinks. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a functioning alcoholic, but I'm sure every alcoholic considers himself functioning. you know, it's just, I do know, and I've heard over and over again that these kinds of things open the door for negative energy to come in, right? So I don't know, man. Yeah, no, I just figured I'd ask. And since you brought it up with this individual that seems to have helped you out with this, but, I mean, let's get fully back into your story here. I know that we just talked about the deliverance stuff. Where do we go from there?
All right. Well, I'm going to go back to the early 2000s. I think it was 2000. I know the White Sox won. White Sox won the World Series 2005.
I don't know, man.
I want to say
that's funny. That's how you would remember it, though.
Dude, okay, I'm going to. Off subject, I'll just say this, how I remember this. In 2008, Iron Man came out on May 3rd.
Okay.
That was the day me and my wife got married.
Really? Because of Iron Man?
No, not because of Iron Man. That was just how it all fell. I didn't even know that was coming out. We planned it, and, you know, for right after the rehearsal, we went to... me and my best man, we went to go see Iron Man.
Hey, that's kind of cool, though, if you're into those movies. I mean, that's because that was back when they were actually good, too.
Oh, yeah.
They've really ran them into the ground lately. But, yeah, dude, that's like, that's pretty funny, dude. So and then what does this have to do with the White Sox? Was it just.
It was around that time.
Okay.
And we used to go to games constantly. But so it was around that. It happened before I met my wife, so I want to say about 2004 to 2006 in that general area. My
sense of time. And how old are you at that time?
I'm 41 right now.
Okay, so back then you're
30. Yeah, so I was in my mid-20s.
Okay, my math is horrible. Mid-20s, all right.
Okay, so a couple weeks before this, I was kind of, I started getting into the, you know, the ghost hunting shows, Ghost Hunters and all that other stuff. And one night I was just laying in bed and I was just like, I prayed, you know, I asked God, I said, hey, I'd like to see how real this stuff is. I want to, I'm curious. I'm a curious person. So I did that and fell asleep. Didn't think anything of it. So about 2 weeks later, me and my buddy, we went to the gym. We came, we ended up going to this one bar for karaoke night or whatever, because we would usually go, and we sat down with our cheap, Long Island iced teas that were only like a buck at the time.
Yeah, you did. Those are nice.
And, we both just had one and we're like, this is horrible tonight. So, you know, we, like I said, we just had one drink and then we went, I went to take him back to his house and that's where I used to live. So I'm like, hey, let's go walk around the neighborhood. It's about a mile around. We used to do this when we were kids. I've known him since I was in second grade. So I was about, what, 7 at the time? I don't know.
Yeah, so sounds right. Yeah.
Basically, I've known this guy for almost my whole entire life. So we're like, let's go walk around. He's like, all right, cool. So we started walking and he was talking. It was something about his dad. He had some issues with his dad. He said something and it struck me funny. I don't know why. I don't know what he said. All I remember, it hit me and I knew I shouldn't be laughing and I just started laughing. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. He just kept on saying, stop laughing at me. I said, like I just said to you, it struck me funny. I'm sorry, man. I don't mean it. He just kept on repeating, don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. As we're continuing walking, this is going on. I'm like, okay, this is going to be an awkward walk now. And then we turn this corner and he's not really saying anything. And then he just kind of went down on his knees and was just kind of on all fours, you know, kind of like spitting up a little bit. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? So I'm like, you okay? And he would just like almost be howling on all fours. And then he started throwing up. I mean, the nasty throat, snot, everything.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, what is going on here? So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I tried to get him back up and we walked a few houses down and then he went back down again. And he started doing the howling thing. Like, what? I don't know. So I didn't know what else to do. I put my hands on him and I started praying for him. And then that's when the howling turned into screaming. Like he was in pain. And then he started talking in another language.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Is this at night?
This was about, yeah, it was probably after one in the morning. He just started speaking in another language. I don't know what language it was. He only knows Spanish and that's, it's terrible Spanish, but I mean, it sounded old and his voice was like really raspy. So that was going on. And I'm like, what is going on? I got my hands on him. I'm praying for him. I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I knew something, you know, watching all these ghost shows and a little bit of stuff that I've heard. And I'm like, I'm realizing at this point, I'm like, you don't know anything, but I just kept on praying for him. And then at one point it felt from like the back of my neck all the way down to my lower back was on fire. Like it was burning. Like my body was cold, but it just felt so hot. And so I just kind of ignored it and kept on trying to get him up. And you know, we're still walking and he's still speaking in this language and howling. And eventually, because I'm not a very smart man, it would have been best to turn around and start heading back to his house. But for some reason, I kept on going straight with him. Don't know why, but you know, this is going on. I'm like, I don't know how to get this to stop, you know? And we finally get to a point and he's basically dead weight and I'm holding him up by the front of his jacket. And he's got his eyes rolled back in his head and he's just mumbling this language. And I'm starting to get frustrated. I have to be at work in the morning. You know, this is going on. I done all I could do. And I started to get upset. Now I was like, I don't understand you. If you want to talk to me, you have to speak English. And then he starts laughing. And then he says, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. And my immediate reaction was, I read the Bible. I know how it ends.
And then, so I'm sorry to jump in. You right away, once he starts throwing up, you immediately think that like there's some sort of demonic energy going on here.
I didn't know. I just, something just told me to start praying for him. So I did. It was just like kind of like an instinct type of thing.
And then it felt like that was helping.
I think the end of the story kind of will answer that question.
Okay.
If you want me to keep going on this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was curious as to like what brought you to that point, but like you said to yourself right there, it was just natural, but yeah, please continue.
Yeah. Okay. Where was I? Okay. He was silent after I told him. I go, I know how it ends. You know, I read the Bible.
Yeah.
And then he goes, where are they? Why aren't they here yet? I'm like, who? Like, why aren't the cops here yet? Mind you, we've walked probably the length of a football field from where this first started happening. And he's been screaming, howling, talking in an old language, I'm assuming. You know, and it occurred to me, I'm like, you'd think someone would have heard. You think that someone would have called the cops.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I think we're done here. So I pick this dude up in a fireman's carry. I walk him probably about a quarter mile back to his house. I set him down in front of his house on his feet. And I start to choke up pretty bad after this whole ordeal. And he goes, all right, man. He goes, give me a call if you're going to do something this weekend. Like nothing even happened.
Wow.
I was like, what? I mean, he walked into his house perfectly fine. It was like, it was literally like nothing happened.
Was he acting kind of buzzed?
No, we only had one drink and it was cheap. And at that time, one drink, the way we drink was not going to buy.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering, like, what in his brain, how he's accounting for that lost time. It sounds like about 15 minutes or so.
Oh, I wish. The whole thing was probably about, let's see, I didn't get home till about 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So it was quite a while. I mean, it didn't feel like it, but when I got in my car, it was about 3:30. So it was probably about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, this whole walk and his whole thing went on.
Shit. Okay.
So I get, you know, I get my car. I'm like, I put the most Christian music I had at the time. I think it was like POD or whatever. And I'm listening to that and I'm like, I'm in tears driving home. I live like 45 minutes away. I'm like in tears driving home. You don't know what happened. Finally went to bed. I called my buddy that has had his own personal stuff happen to him. And he had experience and I talked to him and He said to me, he goes, oh, okay, he snapped out of it. He goes, what, about an hour or so? And I said, yeah. He's like, perfectly fine. I said, yeah. He's like, yeah, he's fine.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he said he went, he kind of had the same thing happen to him, but with a group of people. And he said, yeah, after about an hour, it was like nothing even happened. They were themselves again.
So weird. So what does that mean? Did he elaborate on what that is? Like something tries to enter these people and like they're not a good host or something?
I think once again this goes back to some sort of emotional trauma that he, yeah. His relationship with his dad was not great. His dad was on drugs and okay. stuff. So there's an issue there. And like I said, I think these things really go after people that are, you know, have some sort of emotional trauma, or they're not expecting things to happen. Because you hear all these stories about people, you know, screwing around with Ouija boards. Next thing you know, doors are opening, yeah, hands yeah. are falling, you know, all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's not how it works.
Yeah, so I think it could happen to anyone, you know, especially if you have some sort of emotional trauma. I think it really can grab a hold of you there.
You know what's interesting, man? I mean, are you a big movie guy? I mean, not just like the Iron Man stuff and like those old days, but like horror movies and stuff.
When I was younger, I got scared so bad I wouldn't touch horror movie until I was, I think it was 23 at the time.
Okay.
I was damaged. So
it's so funny. I was kind of freaked out, but I like being scared. Like even as a kid, like I'd, you know, cry for my mom in the middle of the night, like way older than I should have, because yeah. I just loved being scared. But like, you know, my little brain couldn't handle it. But the reason I'm asking about movies is because if you watch like these exorcism movies, the devil in these is always clinging to like the sweetest, most innocent person. Usually their dad's a pastor or something, right? I mean, I'm thinking like The Last Exorcism or like any of these things. Like these people are just like so innocent. And that's what pop culture will have us believe. They don't ever mention anything about trauma. I guess in The Last Exorcism, the girl's mom died though. I need to go through these exorcism movies and see how they portray them. If there's trauma with all of these people, but that's just kind of like a side note, because I think that there is absolutely something to trauma. And I think that's why there's constantly trauma being pushed on the world society. Right.
Well, I kind of see it as, you know, if you don't believe in any of this stuff, then what's the point of, you know, a demon going after, you know, or the devil, whatever you want to call him, you know, go after somebody. To him, you're already on his side. So sure. He's going to leave. But if he's going to go after the Christians, really, or people who believe in God and Jesus, he's going to go after them hard, because he wants to either end you or get you over, pull you away, because you're the enemy to them. That's kind of how I see it, and why certain people do it. I mean, I'm just kind of painting this in a broad brush, because like I said, I don't know everything and I don't know the reasons behind. I mean, they may see something that we don't see on the inside of somebody. Nobody knows their heart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we don't. I don't know, man. It's all guessing to me. I mean, but that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, man. I mean, I messed with the Ouija board. I haven't talked about it a whole lot in my show. I messed with the Ouija board alone. I used to work for a dude I considered him a good friend, and I haven't seen the guy in a while, but you know, we'd go around and clean properties and stuff like that. And there was a Ouija board that this dude had that had passed away, and it wasn't like some creepy Ouija board. It was like one of the like the main game companies, just like that cardboard Ouija board. We just found it in this dude's house, right? So it wasn't like this classic old school wooden one or anything.
Yeah.
Just a cardboard Ouija board found in a dead dude's house, right? I took it because they're like, yeah, you can take anything in here. Like, you know, if you want to reuse it for your house or whatever. So I was like, oh, cool. Ouija board, a dead guy's house. This is freaky, right? So I took it and I just had it for a while. But then like I was super like depressed and I was like, fuck it. Let me just fuck around with this Ouija board and see what happens, you know? And I was assuming nothing was going to happen. And it's kind of weird how like my mindset has been since a kid. I just kind of told you I was super scared, like the kind of kid that was scared of the dark, but loved being scared. Right. I had to sleep with the light on forever. Right. As a kid and a young teenager, sleep with the light on. And then, you know, when I move out into my own house here in like, I'm on an acre out in the country before, you know, I have a girlfriend living with me now and it's been here for a while. I would sleep no problem, all lights out, no TV on, and like it was just totally fine. Not afraid of the dark, not afraid of anything. I mess with this Ouija board when I'm not afraid of anything at all. Like, and then all of a sudden, those old kind of fears of the dark have kind of like can't come back to me for some reason. I'm not nothing when I mess with the Ouija board. There was no doors opening, like you said, no like serious paranormal activity, but I did have like a solid like few year period of horrible luck, bad luck, like just shitty, not horrible things were happening to me, but just everything that could go wrong, like the mundane stuff from the day-to-day life, it's all going wrong constantly. I mean, you know, just all kinds of little dumb stuff adding up. I parked my car in my parents' freaking front yard basically, and it got towed. Right? Little shit like that. Nothing where it's like, oh man, my life is ruined, but just constant, like just bad luck. And then all of a sudden it's just gone. Like I've had pretty good luck recently, knock on wood, but yeah, it's interesting. And then I just kind of thought too about like how like those old like childhood fears have kind of caught back up to me.
Yeah. I don't know. While you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, maybe messing with it. You said that you were kind of depressed at the time.
Yeah. Low trauma, low level trauma, right?
Maybe you had like a maybe like an attachment that got on you messing with it, and as time went on, you had all these little things happen. As soon as you think you're finally getting somewhere, you get knocked right back down.
Yeah,
you get that cleaned up. So I'm wondering if there was something there, because that whole situation for the first 10-12 years of my marriage has been like that. Like ever since we got married, it was just like every time we start to get ahead, we come crashing down. But since when I went through this whole deliverance thing, we are finally like it pointed in the right direction. We're actually moving forward for once instead of constantly getting knocked backwards all the time.
Yeah,
you know, it's just things are have really started to fall into place, you know, a slow period over time. So I'm wondering, maybe you had like something kind of hang on to you for a while until you know, something in your life changed that got rid of it.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I got in a car accident and then it seems like things kind of changed after that. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe it was like, yeah, I man, it's weird. It's weird to think about. And just like, you know, hearing the stuff that you're bringing up just reminds me of it in like this, like weirdest ways, just small ways where it's like, yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to this stuff. And it's probably not healthy anytime something negative happens in your life to go straight to thinking that it's some demonic force trying to ruin your life. Right. But if there's patterns, it seems that maybe like there is some sort of like logical connection there. I don't know, man. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. But yeah, I'm curious to hear more about these things. You said that a few things have gone on in the meantime since you've spoken with other people. I don't know if we're jumping ahead too much there, but Go ahead.
No, there's one thing that happened in 2006. It's a real short one, just because it's not demonic or anything like that. But I kind of want to leave that one for like the cherry on the top of the end of my stories.
Okay.
But I want to hold on to it just because it's just like, dude.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. What happened directly after your friend and, you know, the situation with your friend that seemed traumatic? Did things kind of escalate for you? Because, I mean, you know, like we're talking about this whole episode, trauma seems to be these like little things, tools, and you were clearly traumatized that night. You're crying, driving home. Anything happening to you directly after that to escalate everything?
No, nothing.
Wow. Okay. I was totally expecting something. Okay.
Yeah. I think like I said at the beginning of that, you know, I asked God, you know, hey, you know, I'm curious to see how real this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be careful what you ask for. Definitely. And he's like, all right, here you go. This is it. I mean, I'm not a big, you know, oh, it's just a coincidence type of person. I kind of see life as this is how it is, you know. The odd things happen. Things happen at the right time. Things happen at the wrong time. You know, I don't put much stock into certain stuff, you know. So I think this was, I asked, he said, okay. I said, I don't like that very much.
Yeah.
I mean, I just went about my life like nothing happened. Him and I still, I think we hung out that same weekend and nothing. I mean, I've known him for so long, and, you know, now I'm married, he's not, and we've kind of separated because of things like that. But, you know, as far as I know, nothing's really happened after that. I mean, with him, he never said anything to me, and I actually never brought up that situation with him. I didn't say a word to him.
He doesn't even really know that it happened?
I don't think so.
Oh man, that's wild. Dude, you should totally bring it up to him. I guess it's been a while now.
Yeah, I thought about it, and I just kind of went with, you know, if I feel like I need to tell him, I'll tell him. But every time we've hung out, I would just completely forget about telling him about it, or it just never felt like a good time. But most of the time, it was just like, I think I'm going to tell him, and then we go hang out, and it never even happened in my mind until, you know, I get home and I'm like, I didn't bring that up. Okay, well, I guess maybe I'm not supposed to. I don't.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe you would be messing with whatever force is there if you brought it up again.
It's
wild.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird situation to be in, because I don't think it happens very often.
Yeah. Yeah, with how many people kind of actively look for this stuff, right? I mean, like you said yourself, you asked for this, kind of.
Yeah.
How many people do it on a day-to-day basis and never see anything like that? That's pretty interesting. But
And you never know how many people, you know, just see what they want to see, or, you know, like some people on certain shows who are always possessed all the time. You know, I mean, I think a lot of those ghost hunting shows are kind of giving a lot of stuff a bad name when you see goofballs on there.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of that stuff, if it's on like, you know, Discovery Channel, it's not really going to be like the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. But, as for the recent stuff, well, okay. I will say one thing about that deliverance thing that I did go through. There's one time I did it. He had a buddy on, you know, that was learning how to do all this stuff. And I remember, While we're going through this, I remember in my mind, I clearly seeing like a big, like almost, it was like almost cartoon, like comic book type of muscled black entity. And it was like chained down. And I would not make this up. I don't even think I can make this up even if I tried, but his buddy said, he goes, I'm seeing a spirit being chained down by something. So he's, in his mind, he saw the same thing I was seeing in mine. That blew me away. Because it was like this whole thing was going on. It was just like, he said that. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, how, you know, it was.
And you guys are over Zoom while this is going on too. So it's not like this is in the same, like he's not picking up on hints or anything. There is something weird about electronics and stuff too. I think that this, you know, I'm really thankful that I can talk to people like you, you know, I just met you basically.
Yeah.
You know, I've met so many great people doing this. It's kind of weird, dude. It's weird how we can talk to each other in almost like this teleportation manner. There's something very strange about it. So, yeah, I wonder if like these Zoom calls are almost more efficient than in-person things.
Yeah, the guy that did this, he sent me a boatload of information on this stuff. Like I said, I haven't dared to really get into it just yet. You know, I still got some things that I need to work out for myself mentally, because I don't, this isn't something that where I would suggest, if you're going through something, I would not suggest you do something like this.
Okay.
Because I you know, you're vulnerable, I believe, at the, you know, at that time. But I do plan on getting into it. But yeah, he sent me videos of this, his, I think it's a mentor, doing a lot of this stuff over Zoom calls and recording it.
Huh.
So, yeah, I mean, there's something to it.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I would tell you too, everyone's guilty of being afraid sometimes. I think that fear is one of the worst possible sins that any of us can ever have. I'm guilty of being afraid sometimes, you know, but I would just say, you know, if you think it's going to make your life better, man, just go into it with no fear. And, you know, fuck all this dark stuff that's going to try and mess with you. Just look towards like the good stuff and like God and Jesus, all other things that you believe in that help you through these rough times. Just know that that stuff has your back, and just don't be afraid, dude. I really have started to believe that as I've gotten a little older, that fear is the worst. I mean, and you see this repeated in cultures, you know, the Vikings, who, you know, they didn't believe in the God that you and I seem to believe in, but it's repeated in culture. Fear is cancer, it seems. Yeah. Like.
That's a really good point that you brought up. I didn't think about it that way. I have no one to talk to about this stuff, really. So actually hearing that from you actually is probably something that I really needed to hear, because that is a really good point, you know, that I probably shouldn't put this off. I should actually look into it. You know, because my whole thought process is if, say, we lived close to each other and you said, dude, I got something evil in my house, I will walk over there and I'll be like, let's do battle. Do that. I mean, I'm ready. I'm good to go.
Yeah, dude.
It's something like almost like I feel like I just want to do it. I need to do it. You know, if someone's got an issue, let's do this. It's scary, but I don't fear it. You know what I mean? Being put in that type of situation.
Yeah, man. No, yeah, yeah. I think, like I said, there's something to that idea of no fear, zero fear. You know, and I've always told myself, like as a kid, again, being afraid of the dark and stuff, that I'm not afraid of anything. Everyone's afraid of stuff, man, but just facing it and going for it, I think is a big deal. I'm not trying to get all Gary V here on you or anything, but
yeah,
you know, I think there's a lot to be said. And I think that, there's a movie, I forget what it is. I'll see if I can find the movie by the end of it. And, the whole theme of the movie is like when you die, you go to heaven and God judges you based on the times that you were afraid. And that's all that it is. It's a Christian themed movie. But when you die, God doesn't care if you were mean or, you know, sad or took advantage of anyone, just the times that you were afraid, how you acted in those times. And that's it. Not saying that this movie is everything, but it's just an interesting concept.
Actually, that is. I mean, at one point, you know, like you said, it doesn't matter what you did up until to your time of judgment, because look at the thief that was on the cross. You know, he said that he wanted to follow Jesus, and he said, "Okay, let's do it. You're coming with me."
Yeah.
It didn't matter what he did all you know, throughout his life, all the horrible things. He said, "All right, bro, let's go."
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a really, really cool thing right there.
Heck yeah, dude. I'll try. At least you know, hopefully there's one good thing that I said there, but let's get back to your story. I sorry to derail, yeah. But yeah, you were saying that, you know, just don't the last thing that you basically left off saying was that, you know, if anyone's afraid to do this deliverance or anyone's going through anything when they want to do this deliverance, just don't do it. Wait, hold off.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, you know, like I said, after all this happened, well, what I was going with it is, like I said, I like kind of had this vision of what was going on. So, you know, like I said, I was dabbling with the whole, you know, I'm listening to so many hurts, and I started having the exorcism dreams, and I've had enough. Well, shortly after that, you know, after this whole deliverance stuff and everything, I would constantly see out of the corner of my eye, you know, black shadow figures.
Like I was pounding home in the intro there, absolutely freaky stuff. We get more into it, and he talks more about just personal things that have gone on, and it gets weirder and weirder, as always. I like to save that good stuff for the end for you people that pay a little bit for my show, and it makes the show get better and better every week, I feel. So head over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast, and thank you so much for your support. Hope to see every one of you there.